And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hey there, sports fans. Today is Wednesday, September 4th, and September 11th, and welcome to the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino, joined by Kevin and Darren. This is episode 124. You can catch us wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to leave your questions and comments. We'll be sure to respond. Thanks for tuning in, and let's get started today on the show. A lot going on. We're going to start with the NFL. We're going to start with the New York Jets. They lose Monday night to San Francisco, 32-19. San Francisco puts up 401 yards of offense. They hold Brees Hall in check. Jordan Mason, in place of an injured McCaffrey, runs for 28 and 147 for a touchdown. Kev, let's start it with the Jets.
I would say disappointment is the biggest word I can think of for the Jet performance. San Francisco dominated both lines, offensive and defensive. You know, on defense, we didn't get any pressure except for Quinn Williams in the first quarter had one hit, and I think on the first drive on Brock Purdy. Other than that, we had no pressure. And, of course, the run defense was non-existent. You let Mason go for 147 yards. That was not good. Obviously, you know, between being dominated and then you also add in, I saw a stat that the Jets were credited with 18 missed tackles also during the game. I mean, you could tell they didn't tackle well. They didn't set the perimeter well. They just were not there on defense. Offensive side, you know, again, our offensive line was dominated by San Fran. Couldn't run the ball. I mean, they kept trying to run Brees. You know, they didn't go away from the run, which I like to see. But Brees just didn't have any openings for himself. Rodgers, I thought, was okay for his first game in over a year. He didn't look rattled. You could tell some of the throws. I mean, he had the one beautiful one down the sideline to Lazard, you know, picking up on the free play that he had thrown deep for the touchdown to Lazard, getting Wilson involved early. You know, to me, looking at it, and I'm going to make another point in a minute, but you know, I'm not ready to say same old Jets. Jets played what is going to be the toughest team on their schedule. They played a team that was just in the Super Bowl. This was, I think, a litmus test for them so that they know how much gap they have to make up to approach the top echelon of the NFL. But I'm not ready to say same old Jets. They need to come out this week and respond and play a hell of a lot better game against the Titans and then follow up Thursday against the Patriots. If they come out of here, if we're sitting here a week plus from now and they're 2-1, you can forget about the San Fran game because they were going to lose it anyway. I thought they were going to lose. And during our predictions, we even said the Jets were going to lose this game. I think the biggest thing, especially on the offensive line part and partially on the defense, some teams looked terrible this week because of the lack of preseason action. You know, the offensive line, you've got three new starters, plus AVT coming back from injury, plus a young player in Tippmann. So there's absolutely no chance to gel in preseason action. There's no chance for the defense to get in there and start tackling people. And I think that you saw that on the Jets especially, but I think you saw that through the rest of the NFL with a lot of bad football this weekend. Darren, what are your thoughts?
Okay, well, they were humbled. I mean, that's the word I would use. Everybody was so hyped up on this team that they got humbled. You saw some things you needed to see. Okay, Rodgers, like you said, was fun. He made throws that we haven't seen a Jet quarterback make in forever. I mean, just that throw to Lazard, a couple of the passes to Wilson. Wilson seemed like he was getting open. It wasn't like that big a deal. Sauce and Reed on pass coverage looked good when they were in man-to-man situations. So it looked okay. And so did Carter. I mean, they were making a big deal about Ayuk's drop. That play, that was a tough pass in the corner of that end zone. And Carter had great coverage. I wasn't upset with that. The O-line, I thought, actually improved as the game got along. Bosa only had the one sack. Tyron kind of got his rhythm against him a little bit. And if he can get that going, it'll be fine. You know, Veritucci, you didn't see much from him. I didn't see if he had a good enough game or not. But just going by the rushing yards, it wasn't there. But I felt like the line got a little stronger as the game went on. The turnovers hurt. Brees never fumbles. He got stripped, fumbled right there. That hurt. The interception wasn't Rodgers' fault. It was a deflection that went up. What are you going to do about that? But the run defense, like you said, was gashed. Here's the thing. okay, the Jet run defense was not that great last year either after Al Woods got hurt, okay? Al Woods was the run stuffer, okay? They brought him in. He got hurt. Then they were able to replace him with other guys, but it was never quite the same. Jefferson was a better pass rusher than a run stopper. They brought in Lekai Fotu from Arizona. He got hurt. They need that run-stuffing guy up front that's going to not allow this to happen, that's going to allow Jermaine to tee off. Right now it looks like McDonald, by the way, is a wasted pick. I mean, he just gets pushed around all over the place on that D-line. He's not going to help you with the run. He's going to be speedy. He's almost like better to move him to linebacker and see what he could do there, because he certainly doesn't have the strength to get through these guys unless he's going to go up against a weak, slow tackle that he can run around. But they need a – Woods is a free agent. I would go bring him in. I got to be honest. You need a run-stuffing nose tackle kind of guy for this team. Outside of that, I was happy with seeing Rodgers. Game was ugly. They took the 7-3 lead. You thought that everything was going in the right direction. 8 straight scoring drives by San Francisco. They haven't done that. The Jets defense hasn't given that up in 45 years. So this was as bad a performance as the Jets have had. I still think they need to bring in that run stuffer to help out. And, you know, listen, Tennessee game's huge. They have to find a way to win it now. That's really what it comes down to. G?
So I don't want to get crazy, because this is probably their opponent was probably one of the top three teams in the NFL, if not the best team in the NFL. And they played well. And even though McCaffrey wasn't in there, Mason played a hell of a game. But the defense has to play better. I know you guys want to take the soft road with this. It's game one. I get it. You don't want to overreact. But if we're talking about this team being a top five defense, they need to show it. And that can't happen the way it did this week. It just can't happen. Because now what you've opened up is you've opened up the game plan for these other teams. Tennessee is going to come in here with Pollard, and they're going to come in here with Spears, and they're going to try to run the ball down your throats. And if the Jets don't respond, and again, not the same offensive line you're talking about from San Francisco to Tennessee, but you basically have said, hey, listen, you can run the hell out of the Jets right now. So how do they respond this week, I think, is a big, big answer. Because if they don't respond well, Tennessee may come in here and win this game. And that can't happen, you know. They can't go 0-2 to start like this. So that's my only point, though, because, again, it's only one game. Kev?
They have to be careful. You know, short week, flying back cross-country, then flying back into Tennessee. So there's going to be some aspect on the physical toll that way. That being said, this is a Will Levis-led offense. A hell of a lot different than Brock Purdy-led San Fran offense.
But Purdy wasn't the guy that beat you, though. But
with Will Levis,
he's a threat, like, though. He's load a up threat the box. That Levis is not.
Okay.
You can load up the box, dare let Will Levis to beat you. If Tennessee still runs because the Jets are loading up the box again, blowing off the line despite having a loaded box, then I'm concerned.
Okay.
But, you know,
listen,
point taken, Gino. Don't get me wrong. But
listen, my concern is
they need to load up the box here.
My concern is the week before I said this is a top five defense, and that can't happen if you're a top five defense. You can't let Jordan Mason come in here and run 28 times for 147 yards. You know what I mean? But again, game one, let's not get crazy. Any other Jet points, guys?
A lot of shoulder tackling, a lot of arm tackling, not a lot of, a lot of times we're just trying to hit somebody and knock them down. They just need to be a little bit stronger. Listen, they have Tennessee coming up, then they host Denver. New England, they host Denver. Play Minnesota in wherever the hell. So, I mean, listen, it's not like the schedule is brutal coming up. Yep. I mean, it's a road game in the NFL. I'm surprised they're as big a favorite as they are. I just think that there's a little overhype on the Jets. I mean, Tennessee ran the ball well against Chicago, who's a good run defense. I mean, Pollard had 86 yards last week. So it's not like it's nothing playing against this team. The Jets are just going to have to be a little bit fired up, and they're going to have to come out there. And you got to hope. This is why you have Aaron Rodgers. This is when he sits there and says, all right, offense, this is what we didn't do. I need this. I need that. I need that. And I'm going to make the throws, and you guys are going to make the plays, and we're going to make this happen, and we're going to find spots where we can beat this team. That's what you're banking on for the Jets this week.
All right. We're going to move over to the other New York team. We'll go to the Giants. They lose 28-6 to Minnesota. Minnesota's in total control of this game. They're up 14-3 at the half. Daniel Jones throws two interceptions. The Giants are held to 74 yards rushing, 166 yards passing, and that's Mr. Donald on the other side. Throws for 208 and two touchdowns. Aaron Jones gets a touchdown. Jefferson gets a touchdown. Here's my point on this, and that is Daniel Jones has always been a poor pocket manager, but more and more he feels like he is regressing, and this play has got to be better. Otherwise, the Giants have to do something with the quarterback position quickly. Darren?
Jones, 22 for 42, 186, two interceptions, including the pick six, right? You sit there and you look at it and you just – this team just gets blown out too much. Okay, Dable's record over three seasons or two seasons in a game is 15-19-1. You add the 1-1 with the playoffs. So they've lost 20 games. Of those 20 games, 10 have been by double digits and six have been by 20 or more. I mean, this team does fall apart, and they fall apart easily. You know, the offense was bad. The defense wasn't any better. Banks was getting eaten alive out there, and I thought Banks was a guy that could emerge defensively on this team. They got no pressure from they got a sack from Lawrence early, nothing from Burns. They got nothing from Thibodeau. I don't think even Thibodeau had a sack. A tackle. Burns at least got involved in four tackles. Darnold completed his first 12 passes of the damn game. He led a 99-yard drive against them. And the Giants, they ran the ball 10 times in the game with Singletary. They really didn't try to establish that run. The O-line didn't look good. The D-line didn't look good. It was actually because it was a home opener against a team that you had to feel like with your schedule, you have to win, and they didn't show up. Minnesota was better prepared. Minnesota was the better team. And on paper, you'd think that in a neutral site, maybe Minnesota would be the better team, but not by much. It's a field goal game. You're thinking Darnold going up against Jones, and you don't think of it as a slaughter in any way, shape, or form. But Sam Darnold looked like Joe Montana out there in the first half. He couldn't miss. I was so disappointed in the way the Giants came out. I don't even know how you come back from that type of thing. You're going to play Washington this week, who you own historically. Daniel Jones is what? I think he's... I don't know. I think it was like 10-3 or something like that against this team, or 8-3, something like that. He's been great against them lifetime. And Washington's pass defense is horrendous. So if there's a week to get healthy, this might be it. But, you know, Dable, he's Eric Mangini in a fucking blue jersey, man, guys. I don't even know what to say. This team does not do enough. And they get blown out way too often where they look like they're less prepared than their opponent. Kev?
That was embarrassing. No two ways about it. Like I said, Darren, you can't go out there and lose by three touchdowns to a Sam Darnold team. Given everything else, that 99-yard drive, where's the defense? I thought that the strength of this defense was going to be that defensive line with Lawrence and Burns and Thibodeau, and they were non-existent. Minnesota took care of them. Darnold was efficient. You know, like I said, completed the first 12 passes. Overall, 19 for 24. We never saw that in his career and any of his three stops now.
We didn't give him a chance here with the Jets. We gave him no weapons. His best player was Robbie Anderson.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing what you can look like with Justin Jefferson as a weapon.
How many bad games before we see Drew Luck?
First, I want to see Daniel Jones throw touchdown passes to his own team, not to the other team. Well, that was the one meme going around about the fact that he's thrown more pick sixes and touchdowns since he signed the big contract. That is just unfathomable.
I mean, they're going to play Washington this week. Even if they get a win, they may not play well and still get a win against this team. So how many bad games before you need to see Drew Lock in here before the season is lost, basically? Three?
Four, five?
I would say they give him at least a quarter of the season, 4-5. I don't think that they pull him before September.
You go five games in and you're 1-4, it doesn't matter at that point.
At that point, you're looking at Drew Lock for the rest of the season.
Listen, or Tommy DeVito. Listen, you don't know what you're going to do.
But if you're going to save a season, it's got to come before 1-4.
I don't think so.
That's the problem.
I know you're trying. I know there's a thought about saving the season. Let's be honest. We all thought the Giants were going to be amongst the worst teams.
I'm trying to give the Giants the benefit of the doubt, Kev.
I didn't pick them to be the over. I picked them to get 7 wins. So there you go.
to me, it's 3 consecutive bad games. If he plays horrible through the first 3 games, they have to go. Even if they're 1-2, they have to go to somebody else.
At some point, if he's just looking so bad, they're going to have to go to Lock, you know, at some point, and try to give him a spark and see what Lock can do. And at that point is one that's going to be Locke's team the rest of the year.
Okay.
And like I said, I think it's going to be about 4th game.
Okay. All right.
This is a man that got a huge contract off of one road playoff game. Let's be honest, okay?
I agree.
Yep. I know he was
okay. Against the same minutes of the team.
He threw 15 touchdown passes. It wasn't like that. For him to be successful, the Giants to be successful, he has to be able to throw for at least 3,500 yards. I think even closer to 4,000 because they don't have the running game. And he's going to have to throw 25 to 28 touchdown passes. He has to double up almost his highest year ever of touchdown passes. That's the problem with Daniel Jones. He seems to regress with his pocket presence. He seems to get happy feet immediately. He seems to take too long to go through his progressions. I mean, you know, listen, he's got, you know, kid neighbors caught 5 balls. It's not like he wasn't out there. They just need to be better. I put that game on in hopes of watching a competitive game, and the Giants gave me no reason to stay with that game. And I didn't, to be honest with you. I just didn't.
All right. Let's go around the NFL. So we'll start it off. Kansas City beat Baltimore 27-20 on the first game of the season. They held off Baltimore. It was a review on an overturned touchdown on a final play by Isaiah Likely. Looked like he had his toes on the line in the back of the end zone. A lot of penalties on the offensive line in that game. There were 5 illegal formations on Baltimore. Lamar had a pretty decent game. Henry and Pacheco both scored for each team. Rasheed Rice looked like he was good. Xavier Worthy was all over the damn place. He touched the ball 3 times. He had 2 touchdowns. Darren?
Well, the thing about it is you're going to see Hollywood Brown this week most likely as well. This Kansas City offense is going to look amazing. I mean, Mahomes wasn't great. The O-line was okay. Not great because they're playing a rookie at left tackle. They won by a toe, as you would put it. His toe was on the line. I mean, Likely was open all day in that game, to be honest. And Lamar really beat him more with the run than he did with the pass. The one thing is, the play of the game was Mahomes catching that batted pass. Because if that ball hits the ground, the clock does not roll down. Okay? He actually saved his team about 30 seconds because of that catch. And that was the difference, because they would have had many more chances inside the red zone to score that touchdown, even if Likely's out of bounds. Kev?
But you take a look, too, at that. You know, not only did he catch it, there are 2 Baltimore defenders right there. I mean, the fact that he got his hands on it first and to also catch it and keep that clock moving, huge, huge.
That was the play of the game. That saved the game, is that he had the presence of mind to go up there and not just knock it down, but catch it and keep the clock moving. I mean, there's something about that guy that's pretty amazing. There's nothing else you can really say about it. He just has that extra gear. He didn't scramble, didn't do anything fancy that way this week. Instead, he catches a batted pass and keeps the clock rolling. It's just something about him on a regular basis, Kev.
But you're saying he didn't do much. He didn't have a good game. He threw for 291 and a touchdown, completed 20 of 28. I mean, this is not a good Mahomes game. I died for that as a Jets fan.
Yeah, listen, Mahomes. You're expecting 350 and 3 scores.
I know,
but you know, I'm just saying he played an average game. He did. He wasn't bad. You also see that with Kansas City, the loss of Snead is a little something, because Jalen Watson is not the same cornerback as Snead is, and you saw Baltimore get guys open a little bit there. You know, I, I thought overall, though, it was a pretty good opening night. The offensive line last year was all on Kansas City. If you remember, Jawan Taylor got called four times for lining up in the backfield as well. This year it was reversed, and they kept calling it on Baltimore. I know everybody likes to say Kansas City gets all the calls, and they do get some calls. I'm not going to say they don't, trust me. But Mahomes got hit out of bounds twice in that game. They didn't call either one, which I was a little surprised on. Kev?
And I thought, if likely it scored, that was ruled a touchdown. Harbaugh was going for two, and I like the play going for two there. Yep. You have a chance to win. You've got an exhausted defense. Jackson can either run it in. You have the option available, an RPO, whatever you want to do. And you don't want to go into overtime and give Mahomes the chance of a ball and not seeing the ball again. I thought that would have been the right play by Harbaugh to go for two.
Totally agree with right. that. And what you find with Spagnuolo is that his defenses get better as the year goes on. Kev, yep. RG?
All right, we'll move to the Friday night game. Philly winds up winning 34-29 over Green Bay. They escape with a win in Brazil. Jordan Love goes down with 6 seconds left in the game. It's an MCL injury. He's now out 3 to 5 weeks. That's got to be a big loss for Green Bay. Barkley scored 3 times in the game. He was kind of the story. All the Giant fans were probably crying when they saw him score the third touchdown. Comments about Philly Green Bay, guys?
Eagles, it was a huge game, I mean, from Barkley. Strong games from Brown and Smith. This is another team that has such a complement of weapons because Goddard didn't even really get involved too much this week. That Philly is going to be a very tough team to stop offensively as well. The one thing I'll say, though, that Green Bay matched them stride for stride. You know, they just settled for too many field goals. Green Bay was actually, you know, in great position in a lot of ways in this game. The injury for Love hurts this team so much because Malik Willis, we saw him in Tennessee. He wasn't very good. Hard to imagine that he's, improved dramatically. Hurts was not very good, to be honest with you. He had a couple of turnovers. It wasn't a great game for Hurts. It looked like the field was crap. Looked like it was sliding all over the place. The
field was horrible.
Players were told not to leave their hotel, so obviously their safety was a concern. A lot of strange things about playing in Brazil, which nobody needs to see, and obviously Love injury really curtails a pretty good Green Bay team, I think, if he's out the 5 and not the 3. Kev?
No, I think you summed up everything I had down in my notes here.
All right.
Sorry,
Pat. We go to Sunday, so Buffalo beats Arizona 34-28. Allen throws for 2 touchdowns. He runs for two. The Bills rally from being down 14 points. Marvin Harrison Jr. was quiet. He only got 1 reception for 4 yards. Any comments, guys?
No, Allen was just great. He carried that team over the finish line.
Okay, New Orleans took care of Carolina 47-10. Derek Carr threw for 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. Houston beats Indianapolis 29-27. CJ Stroud continues his winning ways, 234-2. Joe Mixon had the big game, 30 rushes, 159 yards, and a touchdown. Stephon Diggs scored twice. Richardson threw for 2 touchdowns and ran for 1 in the loss. Darren?
Yeah, the one thing I'll say, Richardson did have some good things, but he missed a lot of wide-open receivers, and he missed 2 easy touchdown passes, easy ones where guys were wide open. And the thing I noticed about this game, even though Diggs had the 2 touchdowns, Nico was the go-to guy. They went to Nico Collins more than they went to Diggs. If you're a fantasy guy, it looked like it was much more Nico. Again, the accuracy of Richardson is the most concerning thing if you're a Colts fan.
Okay. Miami beat Jacksonville 20-17. Jason Sanders makes a 52-yarder as time expires to give Miami the win. Tua threw for 338-1. Tyreek Hill scored on an 80-yard touchdown bomb. Achane had a touchdown run. Tyreek caught 7 balls for 130 yards, and this was after an incident prior to the game where he was detained by the police. Darren?
Yeah, the Jags controlled this game, actually. Etienne fumbled. Etienne fumbled as he was going in to give them a 3-score lead, and then they turned it around with that 80-yard pass on that next play, and that really just turned the entire game around when he fumbled it through the end zone. you know, Jacksonville, just they had them down and they could not put their foot on the throat.
Okay. In one of the big surprises of Sunday, New England beat Cincinnati 16-10. Cincinnati turned it over three times. Jamar Chase was very, very off in this game. Rumors are he had food poisoning on Saturday. T. Higgins not available. Burrow looked lackluster in this game. Cincinnati offensive line looked below average. On the field, Ramondre Stevenson for New England, 25 for 120 a touch. He was the best player on the field all day. Kev?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially with Chase, like I said, being off, no Higgins. Boyd, of course, no longer with the team. Mixon not with the team anymore. They were missing a lot of weapons. So I think that contributed to Burrow looking very mediocre. I mean, he completed a good percentage, but, you know, only 164 yards. They couldn't get the ball downfield at all. Nice win for the Patriots and Mayo in his first game.
Yeah, Hudson fumbled as he was going in for a score as well. They were about to take a lead, and he fumbled at the one-yard line as he was going in. That certainly turned it around. And New England, give them credit. They didn't throw the ball at all, but they were able to turn. They were able to get first downs in the fourth quarter to keep the ball away from Burrow until the very end. So I thought that they did a good job with the conversions.
Brissett did what he had to do.
Yeah,
and they probably lose that game with Derek Mays quarterbacking.
Most likely.
Well, if they're going to Ramondre that much, maybe not.
Yeah. Well, but you can't do that if you're trailing, though. You can't go to Ramondre 25 times if you're trailing.
That's true. Okay. Pittsburgh beat Atlanta 18-10. After the offseason roller coaster, Justin Fields got to start because of a Russell Wilson injury. But Chris Boswell was a star of this game. He had six field goals, three longer than 50 yards. Cousins looked off. He threw two interceptions. Pittsburgh defense held Atlanta to 89 rushing yards, 137 passing yards. Any comments, guys, before we move on, Kev?
Yeah, I think Cousins is hurting big time with that Achilles. Remember, I think his is the plant foot, which is a lot different than Rodgers on the other foot. They lined up in the shotgun or the pistol about 90%+ of the time, which limits any sort of play action, which limits your motion, everything else. It was like, okay, if we're in the pistol, we're going to run. If we're going in the shotgun, we're going to pass. And Steelers knew exactly what was going on. And they held them to 226 yards of total offense.
Pickens had a great game, actually. He seemed like he was open a lot, made a lot of big plays in this game. And I thought T.J. Watt, even though he only had one sack, was all over the place in this game. He looked like every time I put this game on, he was everywhere. And Mike Tomlin's a hell of a – every time I hear Pittsburgh fans say, oh, we got to get rid of Tomlin, please, please send him my way because this guy finds a way to win with crap. Anyway.
All right. Chicago beat Tennessee 24-17. Chicago rallies back down 17-3 at the half. They got a block punt for a touchdown. They got a 43-yard interception by Tyreek Stevenson. No offensive touchdowns for Chicago in this game. They had the two touchdowns on special teams and the interception. Three field goals and a two-point conversion. Tony Pollard for Tennessee looked very good in the game. Any comments before we move?
148 yards of offense for Chicago, but they win. Caleb Williams looked bad, 14 for 29 for 93. He actually made Will Levis look good, who only went 19 for 32 for 127. I mean, you know, the two teams combined for under 400 yards of offense. It was just brutal to watch that game. Chicago was very lucky to win.
Yeah, special teams touchdown, defensive touchdown on a horrible pass by Levis. That's the only reason why they won that game.
Yep.
Seattle beat Denver 26-20. Kenneth Walker had a nice game on the ground, 24-103-1. Geno threw a touchdown. Bo Nix did not look good, 26 for 42, two for 138 yards, threw two interceptions. But Denver led in the half in this game, partly because they had two first-half safeties. One was on a penalty in the end zone, which was an odd play to start. But Seattle gets the win. They move to 1-0.
Weird game, you know, like I said, with the two safeties, but – you know, Bo Nix, the question with him was going to be his arm being able to throw down the field, and Sean Payton certainly didn't call anything to let him throw the ball down the field. That's going to be a big issue.
Yeah, he led them in rushing as well, by the way. Seattle's just a better team. They started off slow, but they were just a superior team. Nix is a game manager, check down quarterback.
Okay. The Chargers beat Las Vegas 22-10. Dobbins rushed for 135 yards on just 10 carries. He scored a touchdown. The Chargers held Las Vegas to only 71 rushing yards. Jim Harbaugh gets the victory in game number one as he's back. Darren?
Yeah, just a good melee after a touchdown. After a Charger touchdown, there was a nice melee. And then there was like six or seven huge fights in the stands. These two teams, every time they play, there's fights in the stands. It's ridiculous. Jake?
Okay, Dallas beat Cleveland 33-17. Dallas was in total control. They led 22-3 at the half. Watson was sacked six times through two interceptions. He does not look good right now. Any comments, guys?
Well, I mean, Deshaun Watson makes the Daniel Jones contract look great. I mean, Deshaun Watson, they traded picks for him. He's just not very good. Listen, Cleveland's missing both tackles coming in. Willis is out. Conklin's out. Would certainly hurt them. But Dallas, Dak got paid that morning, and then he played his whatever off. The O-line played better than I expected. They held up. Dallas was just a far superior team in this game, and I expected this to be a game. Kev?
It's going to be interesting going forward. You know, Watson was named in another lawsuit stemming from an incident in 2020 or 2021. So let's see if this play was also into the fact that he's not performing on the field, and now you've got this possible distraction off the field. I don't like the way they look better last year with Flacco and every other quarterback they had other than Watson.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tampa Bay beat Washington 37-20. Baker Mayfield 289 and four touchdowns. Godwin won. Evans 2, McMillan 1. Jaden Daniels 17 for 24 for 184 yards on the air. Ran the ball a lot. 88 yards, two touchdowns on the ground. My Washington team needs to play better. I don't know how much better they can play. Daniels, he scares me a little bit. A lot of these are not design runs. He's scrambling and taking off. I'm having images of Griffin all over again, but we'll see. Guys, any comments?
Sadly, the Daniels looked the best of the three rookie quarterbacks who started. Baker, I mean, four touchdowns. The fact that Baker Mayfield had the best week of any quarterback in week one just shows you what type of weekend it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Washington secondary might be the worst secondary in the NFL watching them play. They couldn't cover anybody over the weekend. And, again, Daniels looked good. If he stays healthy, he's going to be a game changer for Washington.
Okay. And the Sunday night game, Detroit beats the Rams 26-20. The Lions knock off the Rams in overtime with the Montgomery touchdown run. Cooper Kupp, 14 for 21, 110 yards and a touchdown. Puka Nacua going to be out about 4 weeks with a big-time injury. Jameson Williams had a great game. He was 5 for 9, 121 yards and a touchdown. Listen, Darren, you had said this when we did the previews. The Ram offensive line is a lot better than I think I gave them credit for originally. They looked really good. But Detroit comes out.
And they got hurt throughout the game. They got hurt throughout the game. They lost three guys during the game. And then they lost Nacua. And they still fought back. Stafford played great in this game. They couldn't get the running game going, actually. Kevin Williams didn't do much. But Kupp was open all night. And I was really impressed that they fought back and tied it up. To be honest, I mean, the Lions are one of the premier teams in the league. On the road, you're not going to beat them very often. But I thought the Rams played a hell of a game to tie that game up.
And by the overtime, you could tell the Rams were done. And once the Lions got the ball first, Montgomery just ran it down the throat in overtime and ended the game easily.
And that's what Montgomery can do.
That's week one. So week two coming up, Jets play the Titans. The Giants play my Washington team. Dolphins Bills is Thursday night. That could be a good game. Lions get the Bucks after the Bucks come off of this huge Baker offensive game. I know it was against the Commanders, but it's still a big game. for me, the other game is, what do we see from the Texans this week? You know, I predicted them to go to Super Bowl. They're favorites, -6.5 against Chicago at home. We're going to see how well they play. Chicago didn't have a lot of offense, but did play great on defense this past week. Darren?
Yeah, just a couple of things. Browns-Jags, one of those teams falls to 0-2. They were both teams that people thought were fighting for a playoff. Loser goes to 0-2. Colts-Packers, same thing. Can the Pats go 2-0, beat the Seahawks at home? You never know. That's a cross-country game. Rams-Cardinals, someone's going to fall to 0-2. The Bengals now need this game against the Chiefs. Oh, they fall 0-2. And Falcons-Eagles, Falcons need to play really well against Philly to see if they have anything. So there's some interesting games. That's a Monday night game. Sunday night game is Chicago-Houston. That game could be great or it could get ugly, depending on how Caleb, you know, fights with his team, because Houston can move the football. They have a lot of weapons.
All right. We're going to move to some college football. There's a lot of good games this past weekend. Darren, why don't you start us off?
We're going to try to keep our college football to like an eight-minute segment. We're going to try to knock this down, okay? I'm going to go through these games as quickly as I can. Kev's going to chime in where needed be. Okay, just so you know, Georgia, Louisville, Ole Miss, Miami, Missouri, Ohio State, USC, Clemson, they all rolled. Clemson beat our App State team 66-20. That was not fun. We didn't like that game. Kev?
Eight possessions in the first half, 8 touchdowns for Clemson. Klubnik, 378, 5 touchdowns passing, 2 touchdown runs all in the first half. They had 525 yards at halftime. This is not a,
the thing was they were. This isn't Georgia's defense, and they let them know it. Yeah. One of the most interesting games of the weekend, Oklahoma State survived against Arkansas. Razorbacks had 648 yards of total offense, nearly 300 more yards than Oklahoma State, but the 3 turnovers did them in. And they lost in double overtime. Arkansas can move the ball ground and air. I told you that you could run on Okie State. Apparently you could pass on them too when we did the preview. But Oklahoma State survives, gets that double overtime win at home. Kev?
Yeah, Arkansas led 21-7 at halftime, 21 unanswered by Okie State to take the lead, and they went back and forth. The first overtime, both teams missed a field goal. Arkansas from 46, Oklahoma State from 41 before Ollie Gordon scored the touchdown in the second overtime to win it.
Yep. That's the guy. Penn State came back from Bowling Green. They trailed 17-7, won the game 34-27. Singleton and Allen each went over 100 yards rushing in that game. They actually led by 10, late field goal cut it to 7. Kansas State 34, Tulane 27. K-State gets the defensive touchdown to take the lead, and then they hold Tulane in the red zone late. Tulane outgained K-State by 100 yards in this game. That was a game Tulane had a chance to win. Utah 23, Baylor 12. Rising gets hurt in the second quarter, but Utah rolling. They don't score another point after Rising leaves in the second quarter. Kev?
Yeah.
That was it. Okay.
Cam Rising is a team.
Yep. So they need him back and healthy. Alabama 42, South Florida 16. The Bulls led after 3. That's why it's not a blowout. They were actually playing well. Alabama scored 2 touchdowns in the last 5 minutes to make this game look ugly. Kev?
Yeah. Three touchdowns.
My bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, 3 touchdowns in the last 6 minutes, 4 straight touchdown drives. Alabama had under 200 yards going into the fourth quarter.
Absolutely. USF played them really tight. LSU 44, Nicholls State 21. This game was 23-21 in the third quarter. LSU also needed late to pull away. Oklahoma 16, Houston 12. Oklahoma looked dreadful on offense. Houston isn't very good and almost won in Norman. That doesn't say much for Oklahoma and how they're going to do in the SEC. They better get the offense clicking here.
Yep. Yeah, shocking result. 14-3, they were up in the second quarter. Never scored another point until the late safety put it away.
Yeah, exactly. Arizona 22, Northern Arizona 10. NAU led 10-6 at the half. Arizona, who's this offensive juggernaut, basically had no offense to go with. Yeah, speaking of offensive, defensive juggernauts, Tennessee, Geno's surprise team of the year so far, picking them every week, 51, NC State 10. Wasn't that close. NC State's only touchdown was defensive. The defense held NC State to 143 total yards. They ran the ball great. They threw the ball fine, a couple interceptions beside that. This game wasn't really that close. Kev?
Yeah. Nico, I am Olivea, 211 yards, 2 touchdowns.
I just love watching you try to pronounce it.
I just mumbled something.
Isn't it Wabaleva?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Gino.
65 yards rushing. Dylan Simpson, 132 yards, two touchdowns, and they outgained them 3-1 on the overall.
Yeah, it was a slaughter.
Just a beatdown.
One of the games of the weekend, Oregon 37, Boise State 34. Ducks won it at the gun again. Gabriel continues to complete at a high percentage. He was 18 for 21 for 241 and two scores. James had 17 and 102 on the ground. Boise played right with him the whole game. And Jonte, again, guy I say is the best running back in the country. 192 and three touchdowns against Oregon. That's not easy to do on the road in Outson. I was impressed by Boise the whole game. They fought with him. They just fell short. Kev?
Yeah, back and forth. Nothing. Like I said, the field goal at the gun. I mean, the total yards even. 369 for Boise, 350 for Oklahoma. I mean, tight game. Great game to watch.
Yep.
A lot of fun.
Absolutely. Speaking of a game that wasn't close at all to watch, 31-12, Texas crushes Michigan. This wasn't really much of a game. Michigan was completely outclassed in this game. They only scored a touchdown really late. This game was 31-6. Michigan did not show up at home. Gino had that one correct in our picks.
I did not.
Have any thoughts?
I thought Michigan would show up.
Neither did I. I went 0-3.
They didn't. And 24-3 at halftime, Texas put that game away early.
Yep. Illinois, these are the upsets, okay? Illinois, 23. 19th-ranked Kansas, 17. Big win for the Illini. They picked Daniels off three times, one for a touchdown. Daniels just really had a rough game. They actually rushed the ball well. They actually outgained Illinois, but they turned the ball over too much, too many mistakes. Biggest win in the Bielsma era for Illinois. Iowa State comes back on Iowa, 20-19, 21st-ranked Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa led 13-0 in this game, then 19-7. And then the vaunted D kind of lost it. Rocco Becht, son of the great Anthony Becht, played well, 272 and two touchdowns. McNamara did not for Iowa at quarterback, threw for 99 yards and two interceptions. 2 weeks in a row, they go over, by the way. But Iowa State storms back.
The fact that 39 is over.
In Iowa.
Yep.
It was crazy.
The big play, Iowa scored to make it 19-7 late in the third. First play back, Becht to Noel, 75-yard touchdown. Made it 19-14, put Iowa State right back in the game, and McNamara was just pitiful.
Absolutely. What looked like it was all right in game one was not good in game two. Syracuse 31, Georgia Tech 28. McCord was great, 381 and four touchdowns. Tech was ranked 23rd at the time. And then the big one, Northern Illinois 16, fifth-ranked Notre Dame 14. NIU gained more than 100 yards more than the Irish. Irish had two blocked field goals. Leonard had two picks, did not look good at all. They scored on their first drive of each half, and outside of that, Notre Dame did not score at all. Huskies came down with an early 98-yard drive to set the tone. As big an upset as I can remember in this sport, Kev.
That was a pitiful performance by Notre Dame. I mean, on our previous shows, I was predicting that they're going to be undefeated going into the USC game at the end of the season. There's no excuse for losing this game. Just a pathetic performance. Leonard, 163 and two interceptions. He looked atrocious. This new offensive coordinator from LSU did not dial anything up, and you know the NIU, you know they ran the ball well, 45 times for 190 yards. Ontario Brown had 20 for almost 100, caught two passes for 126, including an 83-yard touchdown. NIU deserved to win this game. They outplayed Notre Dame.
That simple.
Does that knock them out?
No,
not yet. They need to beat USC. They need to beat USC. That's the game that would knock them out if they lost it now, I think. Because that's okay. The next big game on that schedule.
I know 12 teams get in.
Purdue is important.
This knocked them down to number 18 in the rankings right now, but, you know, they're still in it theoretically.
Time. Yep.
Okay. The Big 12 is going to beat each other up. The Big 10 is going to beat each other up, and the SEC is going to beat each other up, so that rankings will drop. This and also Texas State 49. University of Texas San Antonio 10. Texas State rolled in this game. It was a 1-point spread, just to let you know how dominant Texas State, Geno's Texas State team rolled. Go Bobcats. This week, a few big games on the agenda, and we're going to talk about one big one at the end. And we want to save it for the picks, or you want to, well, whatever. I'm just going to read them all off. Okay. Alabama goes to Wisconsin, visit the Camp Randall at noon on Saturday. LSU visits undefeated South Carolina, who blew up Kentucky last week after a disappointing week one. Kev, you had to love what you saw last week in that game, that team.
That was shocking. I was shocked at how well they played.
They crushed Kentucky. That wasn't even a game. Oklahoma State, I'm only listing this at Tulsa because that's an in-state rivalry on the road against a smaller school. You never like that. Boston College, 24th ranked. Bill O'Brien's done a great job there. Goes to number 6, Missouri. Number 9, Oregon. Heads to Oregon State early for the Civil War. Also, unranked Washington State visits Washington in the early Apple Cup. At least they're keeping the rivalries going, guys, which I like. The 5th-ranked Ole Miss heads to Wake Forest. That won't be that close. Wake blew a game against Virginia. Georgia, number 1 ranked, goes to Kentucky. Kentucky's going to fire up, but now they get Georgia. Oh, God, that's a bad year. Notre Dame, 18th ranked, heads to Purdue. 12th-ranked Utah heads to Utah State, another in-state rivalry. Colorado heads to Colorado State, another in-state rivalry. And then we have the big one, Gino. The game of the weekend, Friday night under the lights in Manhattan, Kansas. The Little Apple. Bill Snyder Family Stadium is the backdrop, Gino. It's the Battle of the Wildcats. Two members of the same conference that are playing a non-conference game because they scheduled this before the conferences merged. Arizona has 9 straight wins, FBS wins. It's the longest winning streak in the country. They had to play a 2-0 Kansas State team that escaped on the road in Tulane. And I have K-State favored by 7 last I looked. I don't know what you guys have seen, if you have something more recent than that.
Seven and a half.
It went up to. So here it comes down to, Gino. Who wins this one?
I'm gonna take Arizona. The quarterback to wide receiver combo, Fafita to McMillan. Kansas State's played well the first 2 games. So is Arizona. I think Arizona finds a way to win this. If they don't win it, I think it's going to be close enough that I'm going to like having the 7.5 points. Arizona plus the 7.5 is my pick. Kev?
Yeah, very similar to you, Gino. That extra half point sways it toward Arizona for me. I think this is going to be a close back and forth game. I'll take the Arizona plus the 7.5.
I'm going to go with K-State at home. I think that this is going to be a tough backdrop for Arizona. I think Arizona can throw it around the yard. Kansas State's going to be better on both lines of scrimmage than Arizona is, and I think that might be the difference. I think Giddens is going to have a huge game gashing that Arizona defense. So I think K-State's going to cover it, but there we go. Do we want to do the other 2 picks later, or do we want to do them now? We'll do them later? All right.
No, right now.
G, back to
you. Let's hit them.
Oh, right now. Okay. You, give me your other 2. I didn't know what that – I didn't know what the signal meant. My bad.
Sorry about that.
No, my bad. I should have realized it.
My second game, I'm taking Alabama minus the 15.5 against Wisconsin. Alabama just too strong for this Wisconsin team. And my third pick, I'm going to take Oregon, Darren. Oregon minus the 16 against Oregon State. Dylan Gabriel continues his quest for the Heisman. It starts here again. I feel like every week it starts for him. I think he puts numbers up. I like Oregon minus the 16. Kev?
Yeah, Darren, you mentioned a couple of the games I liked. Utah State plus 20 against Utah. Utah State's not a very good team, but Utah is such a different team without Cam Rising.
No.
They didn't score in the second half. You look at last year, they were one of the worst teams offensively in all of college football. 20 points, I'm going to take Utah State plus the 20. My third game, I was leaning towards taking Georgia minus the 24 at Kentucky. But instead, for my third game, a sandstorm is approaching. We're going on the road with Reese Davis, Kirk Herbstreit, Pat McAfee, and the rest of the College Game Day crew to visit Cocky and Sir Bixper down at Williams-Brice Stadium in beautiful Columbia, South Carolina. The excitement is palpable down there on campus at the University of South Carolina. They are pumped to welcome game day for the first time in 10 years. Lee Corso will be donning the Cocky head, and South Carolina will win. They will cover the 7-point spread against LSU.
Okay. You know what? I don't think that's a bad pick, actually. I think that they have a shot in this game. I'm going a different direction. I'm taking Pittsburgh in the backyard brawl at home, plus 2 against West Virginia. Pitt had a huge comeback last week against Cincinnati. They were down 27-6, won that game 28-27. Let's see what happens there. And I'm going to take Missouri laying 16.5 against the Bill O'Brien Boston College team. I think BC is really good, but I think they haven't played a team like Missouri yet. Missouri's sixth in the country. I think Missouri finds a way. So my picks are Pitt plus two, Missouri minus 16.5, and Kansas State minus 7.5. Gino, let's get into the next. Oh, two quick points, actually. Western Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky, only because it was important. This was so Western Kentucky plans a whiteout game against Eastern Kentucky. Eastern Kentucky, being the foe that they are, has the right to wear white uniforms, and they say that they will wear their white uniforms. So Western Kentucky had to wear their red uniforms, even though the crowd was all invited to a whiteout. 31-0 win for Western Kentucky. Eastern Kentucky, they get the last laugh, but Eastern Kentucky refused to allow them to play their whiteout game like they're supposed to. Miami, Cam McCormick started his ninth year of college football at the University of Miami. He started at Oregon with Justin Herbert, just so you guys know how long he's been in college. Now back to you, Gino.
And the AP, six of the top seven SEC. Only Ohio State gets in there.
Well, and Michigan has really proven themselves to suck. So there you go.
Okay, we're going to head over to baseball. Let's start right off with the Mets right off the bat. They're playing very well right now. If the season ended right now, they're in a dead heat for the last wild card with Atlanta before today's games. At one point in the season, the Mets, at some point in June since then, they're on just a tear. They're like 27 games over 500 since that one point in June. It's just unbelievable right now. Kev, talk to me about the Mets.
They're 22-33. They've had the best record in baseball since. This past week, the offense has been a little suspect, but they're winning games. They took two out of three from Cincy. They split the first two with Toronto, and today looked like they were headed for a loss. Bowden Francis was no-hitting them through eight innings. Manaea kept in the game. It was 1-0. And then Lindor led off the ninth with a home run. And then before you know it, Alvarez is capping it off with a three-run home run, a six-run ninth. They have to be no-hit for eight. And they win 6-2 over Toronto, take two out of three. And up-to-date standings with Atlanta losing today as well. The Mets actually are back in front of Atlanta by a game. But we've got the four teams, Arizona, San Diego, the Mets, and Atlanta for the three spots coming right down to the end of the season here.
Okay. Yankees, on the other hand, 4-6 in their last 10 before today. They're actually losing right now, 3-2 in the 10th. The only good news is Baltimore has not played well either, so they're really not losing a lot of ground. They go into today a half game in front. Darren?
Yeah, Baltimore just lost on a walk-off by Boston, three-run homer. So with a 5-3 win for the Red Sox. I never rooted for the Red Sox so hard in my life because you're sitting there. The Yankees take a 2-1 lead. There, Soto fouls the ball off his foot tonight. He's in pain. He doesn't get up for like 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Gets up, hits a two-run homer. It's the only offense that they've had. And then they go right to Clay Holmes in the seventh just to freaking give the lead back. Stop! God damn it. Dominguez is finally up, and it seems to have woken up Verdugo. So, you know, whatever. LeMayu is hurt, and you may never get to see him again, Gino. So that might be the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you. I don't think we'll see LeMayu in a Yankee uniform again. AL East is going to come down to the wire because neither one of these teams really wants this thing. I see your celebration, and you're right. George has stopped hitting homers. He'll pitch great tonight. Schmidt came back. He pitched well. Nestor was great in the pen. Holmes, not closing, is exciting, but he still found a way to blow a game in the seventh. Don't put him in any leverage spots. Stop. The Yankees don't want the division, and yet they still have the best record in the tied for the Cleveland for the best record in the American League, which is so sad because it's just like nobody's winning games right now. Detroit, by the way, is the team to watch a little bit. They seem to be the team climbing up. There were three out of a wild card coming into today. So we'll see what happens going on. But Detroit playing well after they were left for dead and people thought they were trading Scooble at the break. And now it looks like they have a fighting chance to get a playoff spot. G?
What I think is amazing there is that in the wild card, Detroit's gotten within three. But the other two in front of them, I mean, Baltimore and the Yankees are going to get one. But Kansas City and Minnesota look like they're in good position right now. Who would have thought before the season the AL Central would have three teams in the playoffs?
Ridiculous.
I'm gonna give you a dark horse with about 2 weeks left. Watch Texas. They are five games under, seven games back of a wild card. everybody's coming back for them. They're getting everybody back from injury. If I don't know if it's enough time for them to get back in contention. They're 6-4 in their last 10, but that's somebody to watch right now.
Seven back with 17 to play, something like that.
Yeah.
That's we've seen that happen.
We've seen that happen.
Darren, you brought it up. A couple of things. August 28th, when we had our podcast, we talked about Judge hitting 61. He's still stuck at 51 since we made that comment. Otani now is at 46 home runs, 47 stolen bases. Needs 4-3 to hit the 50-50 mark. De La Cruz has 64 stolen bases. He's kind of slowed down a little bit anyway. Witt, Darren, you mentioned Witt. 30 home runs, 99 RBIs, hitting .334. So Judge is 14 points back on batting. So he's probably not going to catch him on batting unless he gets just crazy hot. And the other thing is the Triple Crown for pitching. We talked about it. Sale right now and Skubal, both the American and National League leaders in strikeouts, in ERA. Lugo tied with Skubal with 16 wins, but that would be the only thing. We may have two Triple Crown Cy Young winners coming up. And you had mentioned it a couple weeks ago, Darren, about Merrill maybe pulling front for National League Rookie of the Year. If he's not the favorite, who is? Because Skeens has only pitched, 120 innings at this point. They kind of have gone, I don't want to say six man, but they've slowed down his innings. So I don't know if he's going to have enough innings to really, in everybody's mind, he's 10-2. Is that Rookie of the Year? So, Merrill may be there.
I think he's got a legit shot. Two other Padre points, by the way. Arias has got 120 straight at bats without striking out. In this day and age, that's amazing. No, I'm just saying.
Anything in age.
To show you the power of the San Diego Padres, Machado hit his 167th home run to take the all-time Padre lead in home runs for team history, passing the great Nate Colbert, who once hit five homers in the doubleheader. I just thought we always talk about the Mets never producing a lot of homegrown hitting. The Padres are 10 times worse than the Mets in producing homegrown hitting. Everybody they ever had, they got rid of. It's just the way it works out. But I just thought that was interesting. And Santander hit his 41st tonight, by the way. So Santander's kind of like really, really, really having a really strong year. So good things happening there. Those are my baseball points.
Okay.
It's going to come down to the wire. AL East and the wild card are going to come down to the wire.
Yep. Okay. Anything else in baseball?
And Yankees tied it up, by the way.
What?
No, Yankees tied it up.
Okay. All right. Let's move over to tennis. U.S. Open crown champions. Skinner beat Fritz, first ever Italian winner of the U.S. Open, and Sabalenka beat Pegula, first U.S. Open title for her as well. Kev, any comments on the tennis?
Yeah, both Americans lost in the finals, unfortunately, Pegula and Fritz. For Sabalenka, it's her third major, first U.S. Open. For Sinner, it's his second major, first U.S. Open as well. Maybe Sinner's the guy to step up and be the challenger with Alcaraz for most of these majors going forward.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a player. I mean, listen, the finals weren't really that competitive, unfortunately. We didn't get any epics, but, I'm very, very excited to see American tennis playing well and provided some excitement.
Okay. Anything else before we go to NFL picks, guys?
I have two quick points. Number one, Roberto Luongo. We all know who Roberto Luongo is. So there's a beer league in the town he lives in, and they were looking for a goaltender. All of a sudden, Roberto Luongo walks in, and he went in. They won 4-2, and they beat the team that won, like 9 or 10 straight championships. These guys were just looking for a filling goalie because their goalie got hurt, and Roberto Luongo came out, and he played for him. I just thought that was a great story. The other thing is, before we get to the picks, just want to, say rest in peace to James Earl Jones. Not only was he Lord Vader, but he also was in the Sandlot and, of course, Field of Dreams. had a lot to do with baseball movies, and his speech in Field of Dreams, I think, is one of the best ones going. And I you know, listen, he's James Earl Jones. He's the voice of Vader and the voice of a million other things. Just an incredible actor. But his involvement in sports movies, I thought, was worthy of a mention here today. Jake?
All right. We're going to move over to the NFL picks. Darren and I were both 0-3 in week one. Kev, 2-0-1 to start. You have honors, Mr. Kevin.
Oh, boy. A lot better than my college picks. I'm glad you didn't give those records.
I went 0-3 in college. So did you. Gino went 2-1, I think, right?
I think I'm 0 for the season. I'm saving all my wins for bowl season. This week, not a lot to like, I found. I'm going to start with the Monday night game. I think the Eagles against the Falcons. Falcons did not look good. I don't think Cousins is healthy. I think the Eagles have too many weapons. They're going to score too many points. I'm going to take the Eagles -6.5. My second game, even though they're the better team, they're traveling West Coast to East Coast for a 1 o'clock game, which is always tough. I think the Patriots show that they can play ball control, play defense. I think they're going to keep it close enough. They're getting 3.5 points at home against Seattle. I'm going to take the Patriots. And my third game, I was leaning towards the Chiefs. I'm going to save that in case Darren's picking them. My other game, I'm going to pick the Chargers -6 at the Panthers. The Panthers are just brutal to watch. They can't do anything. I think the Chargers can go in there, physically dominate, and win by more than a touchdown and cover the 6-point spread.
Okay. All right. Kev, I'm gonna go head to head with you, Kev, on New England. I think New England had a perfect storm for that victory last week. Cincinnati played horrible. Between Chase being down, Higgins not even playing, Burrow not looking great. This is Seattle. Seattle comes into New England. I can't see Seattle not winning this game by at least 7. Could be 10. I don't think New England is that good. Take Seattle -3.5 for my first choice. My second choice, I am taking Baltimore at home against the Raiders. Baltimore -9.5 against the Raiders. I like the way they played against the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are a little bit better than them, and that gave them the victory. I think Lamar has a big game. Take Baltimore -9.5. And my third game, I'm taking the Cowboys at home against the Saints. I think huge win for the Saints, put up a lot of points, and then they come back to reality this week against the Dallas defense. Take Dallas -6.5 points. Okay, Darren?
Okay, I'm gonna start off again, coming off a tough Sunday night loss. I'm going to take the Rams getting one against the Cardinals. I know it's on the road. I know that they struggle sometimes in Arizona. I just think they're a little bit of a better team. Arizona has to fly across the country as well. I'll take the Rams, getting the point. I'm going to take Houston on Sunday night, laying 6.5 against Chicago. I just think they're going to have too much offensive firepower. I'd like to see Chicago play him tough. I'd like to see him play well. I like to see the game be competitive, but then part of me wants to go to bed early and hopes it's not competitive. We'll see what happens there. Third one's going to surprise you. I'm going to take the Vikings getting 6 at home against the 49ers. I think that the Vikings will – I think Darnold has practiced against this defense for a while. I think the Vikings have two pretty good tackles, and they held the Giants in check there. And I think if Sam stays within himself and the Vikings can just be short tackling at home in that dome, which sometimes can get a little rough, I think they can find a way to win this. So I'm going to take the Vikings +6 in one that I can't believe I'm taking, but I'm taking the Vikings +6. Kev?
Yeah, it's funny that I had 3 other picks. I left the Chiefs for you because I had Texans -6 over the Bears, Vikings +6 over the 49ers on my list. So I agree with you.
I didn't touch the Chiefs.
Just to jinx you.
Oh, God. So now I'm going to go 0-6. But anyway, so that's those are my picks. You guys have anything else you want to touch on?
Nope.
I'm going to wrap this thing up. What is Sports Kings from Queens? Darren here with Kevin, here with Gino, talking about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world where Clay Holmes still has to come in and save situations, even in the 7th inning, and finds a way to blow them. Listen, you can sit here and follow us anywhere you get your podcast. So download us anytime you can, whether it be an Apple product, Audio Boom, Spotify, I don't really care how you do it. And we post a lot on social media. Like, share, follow, be part of it. And by, you know, just be part of our show. We want to get more and more people. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.